again with another rant from the depths of my cerebrum. So this has been perseverating for a couple of weeks now, and here it is. So the topic of the Columbia Severity Rating Scale came up in a meeting recently, and I was kind of unprofessionally put on the spot by a, not really a colleague, someone that who's very much above me in the district where I work, and they really, frankly, they weren't very nice at all, very, very rude, I think more of a power trip than anything, and I thought, you know what, it's okay, because this person was on a power trip, so what I wanted to do instead, and I think this would make me feel better, is really make a podcast that is and more of an educational, right? Just kind of teach others about the scale itself. So if there's anyone that is unsure about it, or you know, would like to get some more information about the scale, they know where to look for the information. So I'm going to discuss where to find that information and kind of the importance of the scale, right? So what I'm sharing is directly from the Columbia Lighthouse training that I took in while I was in graduate school, and the Columbia University Department of Psychiatry Division of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry website. So the assessment tool, the Columbia Suicide Severity Rating Scale, the CSSRS, is used to assess the severity of suicidal ideation and behavior. And it helps clinicians to determine the level of risk an individual may have for suicide. And what it does is it covers various aspects of suicidal thoughts and behaviors, and this includes intensity and frequency and duration. And the scale is widely used in clinical and research settings to evaluate suicide risk and to guide appropriate interventions. So I've used the CSSRS, but I currently now use a revised version that was written for children between the ages of 6 and 11. So when I was doing the assessment, I was just recently, what I was called out on was I was doing the assessment on a young 5-year-old who is really far below academic expectations for their age. So what came into question was why I had asked the questions the way I asked the questions, and why I didn't ask a certain question. But I'll get into that a little bit, you know, later. I want to go back to the scale itself. So So the Columbia Suicide Severity Rating Scale, the CSSRS, was developed by researchers at Columbia University, led by Dr. Kelly Posner, along with some other collaborators from various institutions. And, you know, again, it was created to provide a standardized and comprehensive way to assess suicidal ideation and behavior across different populations and settings. And so mental health professionals like psychologists, psychiatrists, and social workers undergo specific training in the administration and interpretation of this scale. And the training often includes learning about the scale's various items, right? How to ask the questions in a sensitive and non-judgmental manner. That's important. How to assess the severity of suicidal ideation and behavior, and how to determine appropriate interventions based on the results. The training also covers ethical considerations and best practices for safety planning and risk management. And so here's another kind of, I don't want to say fun fact, but here's something else that kind of came about. There's been a change and kind of a shift in the idea that if you say the word suicide or you mention the word suicide, it doesn't automatically turn your patient or your or anyone, right, doesn't turn them suicidal, right? And this kind of came about, there's been a shift in that, and so when you're doing the assessment, it's okay to, in the trainings, right, they talk about this, it's okay to use the word, because there are some mental health professionals, there are, you know, they're still, they are uncomfortable asking these questions, and they are uncomfortable saying that word, right, or kill yourself, or, right, using those terms, but it's okay to say them, because they're not, you're not putting the ideas in the individual's head, right? So that's something to keep in mind, too. So, yeah, so the training, you know, cover ethical considerations and best practices for safety planning and risk management, but the legal ramifications of not using the Columbia Severity rating scale properly can vary depending on the context and jurisdiction. That's why it's so important. That's why schools are using it now, right? So failure to properly assess and address suicidal ideation and behavior can have serious consequences, right? So you can, you know, mental health professionals can be subject to malpractice claims. If you're a licensed social worker, you obviously have, right, your insurance. If a mental health professional fails to use a CSSRS or a similar standardized assessment tool, it could be considered negligent, right? Mental health professionals could face complaints to their licensing boards, right? They could face civil liability, right? There could be criminal liability. So it's essential for mental health professionals to adhere to best practices in the suicide risk assessment and management. And that includes, right, using appropriate assessment tools like the CSSRS in order to mitigate the risks and provide the best possible care for their patients. And it's a helpful tool also in helping to plan, you know, the interventions and next steps for clients and patients. So what happened with this individual, right, was this individual had challenged why I didn't ask the question, which in hindsight, I'm still unsure of why or how, if I would have changed the way I asked the question, if I would have changed the situation. I don't know if I would have done anything any different, because I did consult with a tenured social worker, and under their guidance, I did what I was told to do. I'm not a tenured school social worker, and I consulted with them. They were in the office with me, and I agreed with the tenured social worker, and so I did exactly that. If I didn't have the guidance, I think ethically, I would have anchored back to, my thought was, you anchor back to what you have in front of you and you ask it verbatim. That's what I would have done if I didn't have, right? Because then you think of liability and, you know, the legality side of things and ethics. So I would have anchored back to that, but I had my tenured social worker there. So guidance counselors don't have the same, they don't follow the same ethics that social workers do. So it's, their mode of thinking is completely different than ours, right? So I don't know. Yeah, it's just, it's hard. And so I think I'm going to throw up a Q&A for my listeners to see what you think, what your thoughts are. I mean, I don't know if I have any social workers on the podcast or any guidance counselors who are, you know, what you would think, but the gist of it was, the questions that I went through, I didn't ask them verbatim. I clarified, I tried to help the student understand what the questions were asking. So I reworded the questions, but did write in the student's response to my questions. So I documented them. One of the last questions, how it was so specific, I did not ask the question, and I wrote NA due to age, because the when reading the previous two questions, it's clear that the student did not understand the line of questioning. There was just no way the student would it wouldn't compute, if that makes sense. So, and it just was, you know, when I was asked if why I felt uncomfortable and asking those questions, and I was asked if I had ever been trained, I just thought it was so unprofessional to do that in front of other colleagues in the room. I just didn't think that was okay, and I didn't understand that. And I thought, you know, that could have been a teachable moment, and we could have, we could have spoken about instead, you know, the legal ramifications that could have come about, and right, it could have been, well, what was your thought process? Why did you, this individual could have asked me, well, more about the student, and it was just more of an attack, and I just thought, how gross, right? I was really upset, and so, yeah, I'd like to get your thoughts. I don't know. And sometimes I just think, you know, I took a step backwards going into school social work on the pay scale because I enjoy the school setting, but, you know, being beat up by bullies on power trips with less experience who probably have bleak resumes, it's just like I ask myself, is it worth it, or should I just leave and double my salary and go back to a clinical setting, you know? Hey, but what do I know? I'm just a school social worker. Just a school social worker. Adios from the trenches. Please spread kindness and good vibes.